Everyone here this morning, each of our visitors, glad to have all of you here with us. Some of you that from here that haven't been here for a little while, it's good to have you back again. And I'm personally very grateful to have Arnold and Janet Eby and their family here with us this morning. It's always a tremendous privilege when somebody comes in and visits us out here, way out here in the Ozarks. So I was thinking this week, kind of along the same lines as what Jared shared this morning, that we are in the midst of preparing for Christmas, which is arguably one of the largest and most popular holidays in the Western world for sure, and by some statistics that I've read in the entire world. And it's personally interesting to me that as a society, as we're preparing for this, as a church here, we are studying in our Sunday school the crucifixion and the events leading up to it. And it made me think of sort of that juxtaposition there, and thinking of all the work that goes into preparing for Christmas every year. And it made me think, what about all the preparation that went into Christ's first coming? How much did the world prepare then? What if all the preparation festivity that goes into Christmas now would have happened before Christ came to earth as a baby in Bethlehem? And that made me think, are we in a similar situation now? Christ is coming again. Are we going to be as prepared for his arrival as the world was when he came as a baby? Are we focusing on that, on preparing for that imminent return of Christ for his people? Or am I as unprepared as so many were when he first came? So the title of my devotional this morning is Preparing for Christ. And I'd like to look at some comparisons between when Christ came and Christ's second coming, looking at some of the prophecies that were in place when Christ first came. These prophecies had come hundreds of years before the event. But there were some distinct clues, and there's many prophecies. I'm just going to read a couple of them here, of some distinct clues of where Christ was coming and what that was going to look like. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Isaiah 9, 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In Micah 5, 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." And those are just a few of the prophecies that have some very specific wording in them. And there's many more that give sort of just a concept of what Jesus' ministry was going to look like. And some of these Jesus himself referred to, like the one in Luke 4. I'm going to read just a few verses out of that. Luke 4, verses 17 through 19. And this was Jesus reading from Isaiah. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And that was a prophecy of Jesus' ministry. And now Jesus was reading that and saying, this is the fulfilling. So these were prophecies about the coming of Christ. What are prophecies that we have about his second coming? And again, there are many of those. And these prophecies are also hundreds and thousands of years old. But there are distinct clues in them. If we look at Matthew 24 and also Luke chapter 21, there are specific details there that it gives of the difficulties that believers will face as the end times draw near, and as we think of the coming of Christ, what it's going to be like before Christ comes again. And in Matthew 16, I'm going to turn here, Matthew 16, read verses 24 through 28. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Talking about Christ coming again, and the context is one in which people are busy doing what? They're busy doing the normal things. The people of God are busy doing the things that the people of God should be doing. And there's also prophecies of falling away, of people who turn their backs on God, get discouraged, people that give up. There's prophecies of false doctrines and false teachers. What are we doing to prepare? What are we doing to be ready when Christ comes? Are we doing the things that the people of God should be doing? When Christ first came as a baby, he was missed by so many. People were unprepared for the way that he came. They expected it to be different. And the mood of the day under the nation of Israel, under the rule of the Roman Empire, created an environment or an atmosphere that was looking for a particular kind of deliverance, a very specific kind of deliverance, and a very particular kind of king. And that's what they were looking for. And at the time, the opinions were divided on what the Messiah should actually look like and do because of that. And he was expected to be the savior of a certain group of people only. And when Christ comes, I believe he's going to be missed by many again. And I say missed in quotes, because I believe that we'll all see it. But I believe that people are going to be unprepared when Christ comes again, in the same way in which people were unprepared when he came the first time. Maybe we're expecting he's going to come to a specific group of people or in a specific way. I believe that our readiness is shown by our relationship. And that's our relationship with God. And our lifestyle and the fruit of the Spirit shown in us is the evidence of that relationship, not simply our say-so. Because we can make all the claims of a relationship that we want to, but one day those claims are going to be tried by fire, is what the Bible says. And I think that everybody is going to be a little bit surprised. We may have ideas exactly how it's going to happen, and sometimes there's contention on details, but no one knows everything about that except for God himself. Although the Bible does say that the coming of Christ will be clear, it says, every eye shall see him. In Matthew 24, verse 27, it says, For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be clear that Christ is coming back. How ready are we going to be for that? In the end, the key is that we are ready for his coming. There were those who were ready for Christ when he came as a baby. The ones who recognized him first were the ones who were open to his work, open to the work of the Messiah without restraints, without confining it just to what they expected. I think of Joseph and Mary and Elizabeth, how the angels came to them before Christ was born, and they willingly accepted that. And they had special encounters that made them confident in the divinity of Jesus. And their perspective is unique in that it predates the arrival of Christ. Many other people believed after they met Jesus, but these people believed before they met him. They were anticipating and preparing for his birth in a way that no one else could. And I believe we are also in a position to prepare for the arrival of Christ in a way that many are not. And by that I mean that we're in an environment in which we say that we are living a life that is focused on God. And if that is true, we should be the most prepared ones to accept Christ in the way that he comes back. And by saying us, I'm not meaning us as a church or as a denomination. I mean as people of God, people whose focus is really on God, will be prepared. And that will be evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. The ones that will be ready for the second coming. You know, when I think of preparation, the preparation that goes into Christmas, the preparation that goes into any good thing, it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. Some of the wonderful family traditions that we have around Christmas or around other special times, they take a lot of work. When you're a child and your mom does a birthday for you, you don't realize the amount of work that goes into it. It's simply, this is something fun that happens to me. Well, when you are the parent, you realize how much work goes into those special things. And as we think of Christ coming back, should it not be the same way that we work for it? It takes effort to have that close relationship with God. And it's worth the effort because we understand the end goal. And that's another part of proper preparation, is that we need to understand what we're trying to do. We need to understand the end goal. And we don't know if we'll live to see the coming of Christ when he comes again, but I believe that we will most certainly meet him. And the question then is, have you prepared for that meeting? Have I prepared for that? And the odds are that you won't have time to make everything right suddenly. So is your life prepared now for that meeting? Have you taken care of any sins that are in your life? Are you living in readiness? That makes me think, how do you prepare for Christ? I believe when we meet Jesus, there's not going to be a quiz that he's going to give us on popular culture, or what current music trends are, or the best ways to impress each other. There's not going to be a discussion on what your politics are. But I think it's going to come down to, what did you do with Jesus? And what did you do with his word? Because that's what he left us. And those are the pressing questions for us. And that doesn't mean that the rest of life is irrelevant. It's far from being irrelevant, because the rest of your life is an enactment of what you're doing with those two questions. And the way in which we answer those two questions is with our lives. A life lived in preparation for meeting with Christ will have a testimony of sins forgiven, of wrongs made right, of the fruit of the Spirit alive and thriving, of a relationship with God that is growing stronger and stronger, one that's in tune with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And while messages of this kind are often tuned specifically for those who do not know God, I believe that it's equally important that those who do know God are in a constant state of readiness and preparation and personal introspection, because we don't want to miss Christ the way he was missed by so many when he first came to earth as a baby in the little town of Bethlehem. And the final results of a life lived in preparation for Christ will be a glorious awakening of our spirit when we finally come face to face with him. In that moment, we will be renewed. So when we go about our festive preparations this week, take time to think and prepare for the coming of Christ that will end time as we know it. Be prepared to meet God and be thrilled to recognize him. I'm going to close with a verse out of Luke 12, verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Prepare for that coming.